Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We appreciate you listening every Sunday evening at 8:05 p.m. Central. We try to emphasize doctrinal truth. A lot of people, a lot of preachers, don't think doctrine is very important. But the Bible says in 2 John verse 9, if we don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, we don't have God. We can't be saved without God, of course. Therefore, doctrine becomes of tantamount importance. We emphasize then that we must believe the truth doctrinally. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That necessarily implies that false religious teaching will not set us free from sin. It actually will cause us to be lost. As the announcer said, if you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. Again, the number to call is 877-655-6755. I thought we'd talk about, until we got our first call, I thought we'd talk about being born again. How is one born again? What does that mean to be born again? The Bible talks about that in a number of places. So let's look at some of those passages tonight. Perhaps the sentinel passage on being born again, the one that most people think of, is when Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there we have the verse that most people think of when they think of being born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, born again is an analogy to being born physically. When a person is born into this world, everything about that person is new, clean, innocent. It's a brand new person, we might say. And so the analogy then is that when a person is born again spiritually, that person, not physically, but spiritually, is brand new, clean, innocent. They're brand new, a new person. Again, we're not talking about physically, we're talking about spiritually. I suggest to you that born again means two things, at least, two things. Number one, first, when a person is born again, he is to become a new person, a different person. And we mean by that a different person in the way we live. For example, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Again, if you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. This idea of becoming a new creature in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that's the same analogy as the phrase born again in John 3, verse 3. You become a new creature. You're born again. But we're talking again spiritually. You're a new creature spiritually. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What kind of old things are supposed to pass away, you think? Well, that's the old man of sin. We can read that in Colossians 3, 9 through 10. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Do you see? When you're born again, that means you put off the old man with those old wicked deeds. You put on a new man, like a little baby is a new person, clean and innocent. That's what we are spiritually. We're a new man. We're going to live differently. We're going to put off. That's up to us. We have to be the one to put off that old man and his deeds. Romans 6 verse 4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, that's what we do when we become born again. We're supposed to walk in newness of life. Again, the analogy is going back to a baby. It's a new life, a brand new life. spiritually, when we're born again, it's a brand new spiritual life. And the number one thing I'm talking about, that out of two things that we must happen when a person is born again, is we must change our ways. We must walk in newness of life. In other words, we don't serve sin anymore. Instead, we serve God. We serve righteousness. Instead of obeying the devil and being the devil's servant, we obey God and become God's servant. Our life changes for the better. And people should be able to see that. Jacob from Manitoba, Canada. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, good evening. Just a couple comments on the John 3 born again discussion.
Yeah, go ahead.
In that same chapter, John 2, verse 31, if you can read that, it's, he who comes from above is above all. So that same chapter, that word above all is the same Greek word as in John 3, or born from.
Born above.
Again, which is above, which anothen is the Greek. Quite often people miss that.
Uh-huh.
And every church father, early church father, when we were discussing John chapter 3, knew that John, the gospel writer here, was talking about baptism, being born from water and spirit.
That he was talking about, that they were talking about baptism.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Because we are made by God, not begotten. Unlike Christ, who is begotten from God, not made, as the Nicene Creed would say. But for us to have divine sonship, be adopted by God, we now need to be begotten by God. And how is that done? That's through water, which is the regeneration, and the Holy Spirit that's put in us for us to become a temple, to be sanctified. And that's why it is necessary for us to be born from water and spirit to enter the kingdom of God. We need the divine sonship of baptism bestowed on us.
Jacob, thank you very much for your call. I think I will elaborate upon what Jacob is just talking about. So when a person is born again, number one, he's got to change his life and live a different way. But guess what? No matter how you start living, no matter how clean you start living, you're not going to be clean from your old sins unless you've been forgiven. So, in being born again, we become a new creature. Well, we have to start living a different way and become a new person, but we'd still be dirty unless we get forgiveness for all the sins that we committed before we were born again. And that's where becoming a Christian, obeying the gospel, being baptized, as Jacob said, comes in. Let me go back and read Romans 6, 3 through 4. We already read this about talking about newness of life, but did you notice it talked about baptism? Romans 6, 3 through 4. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, we're talking about being baptized into Christ. That means into fellowship with Christ, baptized into a saved relationship with Christ. So you can't be saved without being baptized, according to this verse. We're baptized into his death. We got to be baptized into his death. The only way we can receive the benefits of Jesus' death is by being baptized. Then it says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. There's the idea of being born again. We walk in newness of life, a new person. But when does that start? This says it starts at baptism. And that's the point Jacob was making. In John 3, 5, we read John 3, 3 at the beginning of the program that talks about being born again. John 3, 5 goes into more detail and brings out what Jacob was saying. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So being born again involves being born of water and of the Spirit. And what would water have to be talking about here? Well, we see from Romans 6, 3 through 4, it has to be talking about baptism, water baptism. There's only one thing of spiritual significance in the New Testament that involves water, and that's water baptism. So John 3, 5 has to be talking about water baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says that baptism, referring to water baptism, doth also now save us. That proves that John 3, 5 is talking about water baptism. You can't be born again without being baptized in water. When you're baptized in water, that's when you're born again. This verse says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, that's verse 3. Verse 5, it says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Being born again involves being baptize in water, and you have to do that to be forgiven. And you have to be forgiven of all your old sins so that you can be a clean and new creature, and then you start living differently. It takes both forgiveness and a change of life to be a clean and new creature, born again. Jamie from Georgia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, good evening. You know, I'm a new Christian, and it's something that frustrates me, you know, because I started by telling God, look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't love you, but I want to love you. I don't obey you. I want to obey you. It's like a process. It takes prayer. It takes scripture searching. And I noticed that in the churches, you know, it's like watching a 14-year-old walking around with a baby bottle in their mouth. You know, like, I mean, it has to be like in every institution, all the way from elementary school to college, where people graduate and they advance into something greater in the Word. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Not exactly, Jamie, but I'll try to comment upon what you're saying. You know, if we love God, we will keep His commandments. Maybe that's the point that Jamie was making. And we see that from John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if we love God, we will be baptized. We won't have a problem with being baptized in order to be born again, born of water and of the Spirit. While we're on this topic of being born again, let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. While you're turning there, let me mention the number to call again. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. The lines are open right now. You can come right in. 1 Peter 1:23 is also on this same subject of being born again. It reads, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Do you see how that's talking about being born again? You're not born of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, and it says by the word of God. So we're born again by the word of God. So when we think of John 3:5, being born again means being born of water and the Spirit, and we compare that to 1 Peter 1:23, being born again by the Word of God, then it becomes clear to me that John 3:5 is saying this. We must be born of water and the Spirit, meaning we must be baptized in water according to the teaching of the Spirit. Now that last part would match up with being born again by the Word of God. Now, sometimes people think, well, we're born again, it's like a mysterious, miraculous thing. No, it's not miraculous per se. We're born again by the Word of God. Born again by the Word of God. In other words, we are taught the Word of God, we learn the Word of God, and the Word of God asks us to become a Christian, and it tells us the reasons we ought to and the benefits we'll receive. And we weigh all that and make a free will choice to do so. And in that sense, we're born again by the Word of God. The Word of God is what calls us to become a Christian, to become a new creature, to be born again, to be baptized, to be born of water and of the Spirit. We're baptized in water according to the teaching of the Spirit. We're born again of the Word of God. It's done through the power of the gospel. I like to call that divine persuasion. It is arguments, perfect arguments, because they're divine, to try to convince us to become a Christian. We're not forced to become a Christian. God tries to persuade us to become a Christian. We can turn Him down, but it won't be because the arguments aren't conclusive. The arguments are conclusive. If we turn Him down, it'll be because we ignore the evidence. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, about being begotten. He says, but though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Do you see the similarity to 1 Peter 1:23 that says we're born again by the Word of God? This says that we're begotten or born through the gospel, the Word of God. Howard from New Mexico, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question is it imperative to be baptized in water to be saved?
Well, what did John 3:5 say when it says, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God? Does that sound like it's necessary?
Okay, then let's talk about the thief on the cross. He had no chance period to be baptized in water, do you, is he standing in God's kingdom right now?
Well, let me say two things, Howard. Is it possible the thief on the cross was baptized before he went up on the cross by John the Baptist or somebody like that?
The thief on the cross was not saved before he got on that cross. Am I correct?
He could have been baptized before he got on the cross. Now, let me mention this to you, Howard. The thief on the cross did not live under the New Testament dispensation that we live under. Let me read for you Hebrews chapter 9, 15 through 17, and see if you see my point. It says, "And for this cause, he," talking about Jesus, "is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Now, the testament here is talking about is like having a will. A will does not go into effect until after the death of the testator, the one who wrote the will. And so what this is saying is the New Testament law did not go into effect until after the death of Jesus. And so the New Testament is what requires us to be baptized to be saved. The thief on the cross didn't need to be baptized any more than Adam and Eve did, Abraham, Jacob, Moses. They did not live under the New Testament law that requires one to be baptized. Do you follow my point, Howard?
Yeah, I got you.
Thank you for your call, Howard. Simon from North Carolina, go ahead with your North Dakota. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yeah, just comment on the thief on the cross question. Christ has not instituted New Testament baptism yet because Pentecost hasn't happened and the Holy Spirit hadn't come down yet. So he said himself, John baptized for the forgiveness of sins, repentance. But Christ baptized us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So quite often we hear that thief on the cross argument for people that don't. They're saying you can be baptized to be saved, but Christ had not even instituted New Testament baptism yet. So
that's right.
It's very simple.
Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." But that wasn't said till long after, many days after the thief died. He was not amenable to that requirement to be baptized to be saved. That's what you're saying, Simon, right?
That was when Christ, after he resurrected, that Mark chapter 16.
Right, exactly. And that was many days after the thief had already died. The thief lived under the Old Testament law. He didn't have to be baptized. He wasn't required to be baptized like we are today because he lived under the Old Testament law. He lived under the law that required animal sacrifices and circumcision and keeping the Sabbath and things like that. The New Testament law requires one to be baptized to be saved. I just read a passage that proves that. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." John chapter 3, verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Peter said in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." You got to be baptized if you want to get the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22:16, "Ananias told Saul to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins," showing that your sins are not washed away until you're baptized. A passage we mentioned earlier, 1 Peter 3:21, "Baptism doth also now save us." Of course, the death of Christ is what saves us as far as basis is concerned, but that passage teaches that baptism is a condition that we must meet in order to be saved. "Baptism doth also now save us," 1 Peter 3:21. If we're saved by faith only, 1 Peter 3:21, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, John 3:5, Mark 16:16 just don't make any sense. Charles from Spokane, Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I guess this would be almost like beating a dead horse, but another thing on the thief on the cross was in Romans 6, it says when we're baptized into Jesus' death, and Jesus hadn't died yet, so it was impossible for the thief to have been baptized into his death since he hadn't died yet. And then also, there's a place where you probably recall where Jesus said that he had the power on earth to forgive sins. So he could forgive anybody's sins he felt like, whenever he felt like. He was still alive. So, another couple
Chuck,
of points
there. You make some good points there. Outstanding points. You have any follow-up? I think I agree with you 100%.
No, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If we're going to... Bible says, then we're going to agree that a person has to be baptized to be saved. I mean, after all, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Anthony from Oklahoma, go ahead, Anthony.
When we're born of the Spirit, and the Spirit is coming, that we confess it out of our mouth and believe it in our heart that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that's when we're born of the Spirit, because if we're born of a woman, and we were shaped in iniquity. And then, you know, and that's how we all were born into this world. So we were born into the water. But now, in order to be saved, we have to receive the Holy Ghost through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on by believing what thus said the Lord in his words, that whosoever believe on him shall be saved. And it's just one of those things we all learn, and, you know, and we all give God the glory for it. And that, just like you said, gave an example of the thief on the cross. And that thief just believed on him, and Jesus said, surely you'll be with me in paradise. So, it's really no argument about it. We, you know, we baptize, great, you know, because you can go down, be baptized, and still come up. If you don't believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you don't pick up the word for yourself and read it, because that's the living word, and we have to ask the Lord to allow the Holy Ghost to dwell in us, and that's that Holy Spirit that ain't none of us never seen, but we believe.
Anthony, thank you for your call. You know, he talked about the Holy Spirit, Anthony did. And one of those passages I read that proves that you got to be baptized mentions the Holy Spirit. And that's Acts 2:38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Of course, in that sense, the Holy Ghost is, according to Ephesians 1, the thing that is the earnest of our inheritance. It shows that we're saved. And this verse says that we cannot receive the gift of the Holy Ghost until we're baptized. We have to be baptized for the remission of sins, or we won't have the remission of sins, and we have to do that in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Tim from Maryland, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was calling regarding the Holy Spirit and how it said that we must have the evidence of speaking in tongues in order to fully receive the Holy Spirit, and then again, in order to have a proper, I guess, relationship with Christ in order to make heaven, I have to speak in tongues.
Okay. Thank you for your call, Tim. The Bible never teaches that. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 13:8-13, it says, tongues shall cease. And so they did. The Bible was right. They did cease. Okay? And so the Bible never says any of that. That's just something that somebody made up. The Bible teaches that they would cease, and they did. We're so thankful for your calls tonight and your listening. Again, the subject for tonight is that you must be born again, John 3:3. And then in verse 5, Jesus elaborates upon that, and he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And one or two of our callers understood exactly what that's talking about. That's talking about water baptism. To be born again, become a new creature, two things. You got to start living right to become a new creature, and you got to get the sins forgiven in your past, or you won't be clean. You won't be new. And to get forgiven, you got to be baptized. You got to be born of water. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Water baptism is an integral part of being born again. It's where your sins are forgiven so that you can be new and clean. And then it's up to you to live a clean and new life. If you want to discuss it further, send me an email. Thank